This is Holiday Readings and Remembrances, reflections on the season as told by members of the Northern Michigan University and surrounding communities. I'm Stan Wright. This time, we reach back into the archives to revisit A Cajun Christmas, as told by its author, Northern Michigan University Professor of English, Beverly Mathern.
Christmas in Cajun Country. We all sat around the big oak table Daddy built himself, a rectangular affair skirted by those chairs with hounds' heads on the backs. See, in those days, the local furniture store, Boudreaux's, didn't carry tables long enough to seat all of us, 5 sisters, 7 brothers, Mama and Daddy, Tante May, Nonc Jean, Mémé Matern, and Pépé Brignac. The turkey lay on a huge blue willow platter in front of Daddy, one of 3 Nonc Jean raised that year, one for Thanksgiving, one for Christmas, and one for New Year's Day. Mama had garnished the turkey with pineapple slices and red cherries. The aroma of its sweet juices filled the house, along with Tante May's ham baked in molasses, the mallard's Pépé Brignac shot on Blind River, and sweet potatoes, patate douce, that Mama said smelled just as good as the ones Mémé used to bake in the wood stove. And Pépé Brignac, him, the only person in town to own a smokehouse, brought andouille sausage, now steamed up in Mama's gumbo, with oysters from the Gulf of Mexico, and chicken so tender it fell off the bones. While Daddy carved the turkey, we passed our bowls to Mama. She filled them with rice and hot gumbo. I passed the warm French bread and butter, keeping one of the elbows for myself so I could excavate its soft insides and fill it with blackberry jam. For a while, no one talked, and all you heard were forks and knives on china plates, the clink of ice cubes, and muffed thumps of tumblers on the fine, long tablecloth my eldest sister Emily had bought in Paris when she worked for NATO. Before you knew it, everybody was talking about the old days. Tante May remembered how she and Daddy used to go to midnight mass in a charrette, a cart pulled by mules. Sometimes, she said, the wheels got stuck in the mud and we had to get out and push. To see where we were going, we lit cattails. Cattails plucked from the swamp and soaked for months in coal oil till Christmas Eve. They shone in the dark like flambeaux at the Zulu parade during Mardi Gras in New Orleans. Mama, a tall woman, talked about how she was a great basketball player and how she borrowed tennis shoes from a girl not as good as she was and how sometimes she had to miss practice because she didn't have a nickel to pay for the Mississippi River ferry. She remembered how her mama could sew so well that all you had to do was show her a dress in the Sears and Roebuck catalog, and she could make one just like it without a store-bought pattern. Then Tante May recalled how they used to put their shoes at the hearth on Christmas Eve, how Papa Noel would bring her a big red apple and orange every year. Except once, when the sugarcane crop was especially good. She got a baby doll in a pink dress and bonnet with blonde hair and black high-top shoes. We all passed our plates to Daddy for turkey and passed around the sweet potatoes and petit pois, those small green peas cooked in a roux, and cabbage stuffed with pork. Soon my brothers and sisters and I clamored for stories, the same stories we told over and over when we got together for a special occasion. "Mama, Mama," we cried, "tell us the story about the drac and the little pony." "Oh, that one," she said, "is one of my favorites, about that old drac that can change shape any time he wants." Well, once upon a time, 12 children were going to catechism. At the edge of the pasture, they met a pretty little pony. She seemed so gentle that one of the children decided to climb on her back. Then another climbed up, and then another one, and yet another. The pony lengthened her back to make room until all the children were seated. "Do you know where she was taking them?" Mama asked. "Where?" I said. "Well, the pony was going to the Mississippi River to drown all of them." But one of them made the sign of the cross, and at that instant the animal disappeared like magic, and all the children were saved. I especially liked that one. It gave me hope, made me think that not everybody's going to hell, the way the nuns always say. Then my brother Johnny asked Nonc Jean to tell the story about the devil in the woods. And Nonc Jean, he loved to tell it. Nobody else told it like him. "Well," Nonc Jean said, "you know, in Cajun country here in Louisiana, there's always the fiddle and the accordion, but hundreds of years ago, when our people were still in France, we used to dance to flutes and drums. And this story comes from those old, old days." "One time," he said, "a flute player was on his way home after a dance. When he reached the woods, he felt like something was looking at him. And sure enough, turning around, he saw two eyes, two balls of fire, in the night. He took out the round wheat cake he put in his sack before leaving for the dance. He started running, breaking the loaf and throwing it piece by piece at the wolf, hoping to slow him down, but he ran out of cake. The man ran faster and faster. The wolf came closer and closer. The man dug into his pockets for money to throw at him, hoping he would stop to count the change. In a panic, he threw his flute. Then a wind blew through the holes. It made a pretty mournful sound, and the wolf froze in his tracks. The man grabbed his flute and played all night. Only daybreak saved him, 'cause, you know, those wolves, they come out at night and go away once the sun comes up." My sister Shirley said she was scared of wolves and didn't know what she would do if ever she saw one, especially since she didn't have a flute. The aroma of dark roast Louisiana coffee wafted in the air. Dessert was on the way. For the adults, Mama's famous fruit cake. All month long, I watched her open the bottom drawer of the armoire, pull back the foil of 6 cakes, and spoon Jack Daniels onto their glazed tops. But I preferred to sink my table knife into a bowl of Luquis syrup, so thick it stayed on the blade. Then I'd roll it in pecan halves. That and eggnog with huge poofs of egg whites floating on top. What more could you ask for? Soon, Mamma Turn said she was ready to tell a story, the one about the Mass of the Dead, another tale from the olden days in France. "One time," she said, "there was this widow who asked her neighbors not to forget to go to Mass in the morning in honor of her dead husband. So that evening the widow said her prayers and went to sleep early. In the middle of the night she heard a noise. She was sure it was time to go to Mass. Living next to the church, she opened her shutters and saw that the votaries were already lit. She thought she was late. She put on her mourning clothes, her veil, dress, and woolen shawl, all black, and hurried to the church. She entered. All the women, like her, wore black veils over their faces, so she didn't recognize anybody. The priest said the Mass, At the offering, the widow realized she didn't have any money, so she gave her wedding ring, hoping to get it back later in exchange for a generous amount of money. At the end of Mass, she walked out the church. She looked back and noticed suddenly that it was dark and empty. She wondered where everybody had gone. A little confused, she went back home. It was still dark, so she went back to bed and fell asleep again. The next morning, she got up very late. When she went out, she ran into her neighbors. They asked her why she wasn't at Mass, but she insisted that she had attended, and the proof was that she no longer wore her wedding ring. She had given it as an offering. Her neighbors still insisted that she was not there. She went to see the priest. "No, you were not present," he said, and that really surprised us. Everyone looked everywhere for the widow's ring. They found it driven into the table of the altar. A ghost priest had said the Mass. When Mimé's story ended, I could see, in my imagination, shadows parading among the stubble in the sugarcane field, and the small hands and face of my dead baby brother. All this time, Daddy had been quiet, waiting his turn. Finally, everybody looked at him. "Tell us the one about the devil in the church." "Well," he said, "one day, a herder and his goats passed in front of Grand Point Church. The billy goat of the herd noticed that the door was open. He went in. The bell ringer came to ring the Angelus. All of a sudden, the door banged shut, locking the goat inside. The next morning, the man came back to sing the Angelus again. He saw the goat standing in the pulpit. He got all excited. He ran out the church to the rectory. "Father! Father, come see, the devil's in the church." The priest said, "You're kidding, right?" "Oh, no, I saw him. He's in the pulpit. He's hairy, and he has a beard, and his eyes, and his horns. It's definitely the devil. Quick, come see." And, of course, the priest went to the church. "It's him, all right," he said. He took his aspergillum and sprinkled holy water at the animal. Suddenly, the goat jumped from the pulpit to the floor with a heck of a ruckus. He ran for the door, passing between the legs of the priest, who then found himself riding on the billy's back. Waving his aspergillum wildly, the priest yelled, "Oh, my God! The devil's got me! He's got me now!" Still stuffing myself with liqueur syrup and pecans, I laughed until I wept. Then Daddy recited a couple of Shakespeare's soliloquies and sang the A la Capri in French. He told a dozen Boudreaux and Fontenot jokes, and we all laughed till our sides hurt, even though I wasn't always sure what certain punchlines meant. "That's enough talk about the devil and monkey shines on Christmas Day," Mimé said. She handed my sister Karen the baby Jesus and said, "Here, Cher, go put the bébé in the creche." Soon, everybody left the table feeling like stuffed turkeys, but close together as a family, looking for sofas and beds where we could rest for a while.
Holiday Readings and Remembrances is a Public Radio 90 production produced at the WNMU-FM studios in the Learning Resources Center on the campus of Northern Michigan University. I'm your producer and host, Stan Wright. Thanks for listening, and happy holidays.